Y'all heard the saying, quitters never win, and winners never quit. But do we believe it? Do we put it into practice? If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, we want to examine a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 10, in particular verse 39. Here the Hebrew writer says of his fellow Christians, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Another translation says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." So we have a choice. We can allow fear to overcome us and give up. We can allow the struggles and the toils and the trials and the temptations of this life choke us out, like the seed that fell on the thorny ground in the parable of the sower. We can do that. But if we do, it will mean our destruction. That's the word perdition in the King James. Refers to destruction in hell. We quit. We give up. Or we can be faithful. We can continue in our belief to the point that it saves our soul. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Which are you going to do? It's easy when things are going well. What about when the hard times come? Go back a little bit. Look at verse 32. Verse 32, the Hebrew writer says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated," he's referring there to the light of the gospel of Christ, as referred to in many places in Scripture as having shined on us. It refers to being illuminated. After you've seen the light, in essence, he says, "You endured a great fight of affliction." Partly while you were made a gazing stock. In other words, everybody was looking at you and mocking you and making fun of you. You ever seen in the old times they would have the stocks in the middle of the square, and if someone had committed a crime, they'd put them in those stocks for everyone that came by to look at that individual and to mock them and to make fun of them because of their circumstance. Well, the Hebrew writer says that that's what happened to some of the Christians in the first century. So you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. That was part of it. And then he says, and partly, there's another part to it, while you became companions of them that were so used. Can you imagine one of your friends were locked in the stocks in the middle of town? What would you do? Would you go home and hide and be embarrassed and be ashamed? Or would you stand up next to them, keep people from throwing those rotten tomatoes in their face when they couldn't defend themselves? What would you do? That's what the Hebrew writer is talking about. Here were some individuals. When they became Christians, everyone afflicted them and reproached them. And if they weren't afflicting and reproaching you, then they were afflicting and reproaching your companions who were also Christians. And those terms that personally, this verse being one of the ones to which people believe that Paul is the writer of this book, He said, "For you had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." He said, "I was in prison, and you had compassion on me." He said, "You gave of your possessions, the spoiling of your goods," he called it. Imagine supporting someone when they were unable to support themselves. You know, at that time, things were different. Nowadays, if somebody winds up in jail, by the county provides them the 3 meals a day. The county provides them with a set of clothing to wear and a bed to lay on. That wasn't that way back then. When you got thrown into the prison, you were just thrown into the prison. They didn't care if you starved to death in there. It didn't matter to them. Somebody better come and bring you something. Somebody better feed you. Somebody better clothe you. You remember what Jesus said? "I was naked, you clothed me, in prison, and you visited me." All of those things. Now that's what the Hebrew writer says of these brethren. He says, you did this. Now remember that the book of Hebrews is written to Christians who had at one time been Jews, and many of them are leaving the faith of Christ to go back to Judaism. And so the Hebrew writer is trying to remind them again and again why it's better to be a Christian. Christ is superior to Moses, and Christ's law is superior to the law of Moses and the old law. And he goes on and on all through the book, and now he gets to this point, and he says, "You remember how it was when you were first converted. Do you remember the zeal you had when you first became a Christian? Do you remember the joy and the excitement that you have knowing that your sins were forgiven? Knowing that you were on your way to heaven?" But sometimes, over the course of the years, we lose that joy. We lose that zeal. And we get dragged down. And we even, at times, begin to doubt. But he reminds them that they knew that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance. We can know that. We need to know that there's a home waiting for us in heaven. And then in verse 35, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." Sometimes we do that. We just get so frustrated. We begin to doubt whether the Christian life is worth living, whether there's really going to be a reward, whether there really is a heaven that we're going to get to go to. And we just wonder, is it really worth the effort? Is it really worth the struggle? Wouldn't it be easier to just stay home tonight? It would have been easier. But it wouldn't have been better. Notice what he says. "Don't cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward." He promises them that there is a reward. You know, in any physical activity, whether it be a job, whether it be chores around the house, whether it be an activity like a sport of some kind, whether it's walking or running or swimming or any of those activities that are physical in nature, we can endure to the end if we know there's a goal set out there, and when we reach that goal, we'll be rewarded. If the goal is clear, but we have such a goal, we have such a promise as Christians. And then in verse 36, he tells them what they need, and it's the same thing that we need today. "For you have need of patience," or perseverance. Sometimes we think of those as two different things, but there's
a lot of perseverance in patience. We need to persevere. You can't win a race if you don't finish the race. And the wonderful thing about the Christian race is you don't have to be the first one to cross the finish line. You just have to cross the finish line. Everyone who finishes the race will get the reward. Isn't that wonderful? You know, Paul talks in 1 Corinthians about those who run in a race to be convicted out of for a crown, because only one receives that crown. What about all those folks that ran their hardest, but they didn't come in first, and they didn't get the crown, they didn't get to go in the middle of it, or at the track meet? They didn't miss it. They ran hard, they finished the race. You don't even have a something of medicine on the side. Even the pastor said they never heard it, but they didn't get first place. See, Christianity is not that way. And Christianity is part of us who finish, receive the promise. Because you have to be the patient, perseverance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And yet a little time. Just a little time left. Just call it on just a little bit of time. Don't give up yet. Each day we need to wake up and say, I'm not going to sit today. I'm going to make it today. He that shall come will come. Live up to him. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Says that's the choice. Either you live by faith, or if you give up, if you quit, if you draw back, then God's not going to have any pleasure in you. In the book of Galatians, Paul says, you did very well. Who hindered you? So many times we allow something to hinder us. We allow something to be a problem, a hindrance to us. We don't have time tonight, though we can have time. I don't know, I didn't get up here so early on Sunday night. I'm not sure if the summer is not just to get out of early, or whether he's just not in this, don't need to preach for 35 or 50 minutes from the church. But we have in chapter 11 examples of those just people who live by faith. I don't have time to read all of them, but you probably wouldn't have to do this, but read it again. Look at the things those people that they didn't let you think in under them. And they have a lot greater obstacles than we have today. But the Hebrew writer reminds his fellow Christians of that day, and I'm going to encourage us as well. Let's not be a bird that draw back into the wind. But the birds that believe to the saving of the soul. Wouldn't it be a shame if you believed faithfully for most of your life and then you knew that? I've seen that happen in nature, but I used to learn that not very well, but I learned it anyway. But now that we read your Bible, I couldn't compete when I got it to happen. But if you can have it, then see it sometimes. Somebody would be off the front. And then it's just, I have done it mentally. I've done the race. And so, they've led us to the end. They've led us. And someone else who was behind would take it as a high gear right at the end. And that's just and surpass the person in the lead and even the rest. How embarrassing is that? But look how he's done it.
Get out of the
But there is one thing that we can learn from the Bible. That the theme never fails. That the Bible has already lost, and we still find it. And we still find it. And this is the genesis of Christianity.
Thank you.